In these hills, snow comes. I'm John Bai. Welcome to In These Hills, my podcast about the town I live in, Cummington, Massachusetts. In this program, I'll be talking with friends, neighbors, and others who live here, about living here. Not long ago, I was surprised and saddened to see division and distrust growing in our community. I realized that I needed to understand more about my town. I decided to do that by learning more about the people who live here. It's an effort to find common ground in a divided time. No soapbox, no speeches, just conversation about living in these hills.
Our eyes fill with reds and golds.
I'm here this morning with Jeanette Horton on this snowy February 2nd morning, and we've both shoveled out enough to sit down and have this conversation. So welcome, Jeanette, and thank you for doing this.
You're very welcome, John.
Some of the things that I know about you at this point are that you and your husband, Jack, arrived in Cummington in 1965, and you bought the farm, the dairy farm, or turned it into a dairy farm. I'm not sure whether it already was or not.
It was.
Yeah. And one of seven dairy farms in the town of Cummington at that time. So here we are now 55 years later, and you're still here. Still in still at the same farm. There's still cows on the property, and
in the summer.
In the summertime. Yep.
Yes.
And you raised your family here in Cummington, your two boys, Michael and Preston. In that time, you've done a lot of things, dairy farming, of course, as a part of it. And then I know that you, you've been I don't know quite what to call it, a caretaker of sorts for some people. I remember when Mr. Wilbur was not well.
We were more or less, we were taking care of them and doing their housework too, did both.
Yes.
As they got older, they need health care, and we took care of Charlie and Dick Wilbur.
Yep, and so you really have made a career, if you will, out of helping other people, is the way it seems to me. And
yes.
you're still doing that today. And one of the things that you mentioned about what you've done over the years here is basically whatever you needed to do to make it work. That seems to... in your case, include looking out for a lot of other people in town. So that's a wonderful thing that you've done. I was also struck by the fact that you spent 42 years as the dairy leader for the 4-H, which has got to be a record.
It was a long time, and we really enjoyed working with the 4-H'ers. And myself and Jack, we both were 4-H members over the years ourselves, and that's how I met Jack.
Oh, really?
Yes. And we had as many as 18 club members here in Cummington, but they weren't all from town. We had a family that came up from Ludlow and Middlefield.
Yep.
They came here because they didn't have an active club in their areas. And then we had our own 4-H'ers here in town, too. But we had a variety of kids. And Huntington 4-H'ers came up, so it was... Worthington, it was quite a Hilltown Dairy Club.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously been a huge part of your life, and they and you, I'm sure, benefited enormously from it. So it's wonderful that you've done all that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about, we're going to talk about Cummington and about you, your Cummington, if you will, in a way. And understanding that even though you've been here for 55 years, you weren't born here, you weren't raised here, and so actually, and this is true for me too, I haven't been here as long as you, but I'm not really from Cummington, and neither are you in that sense of having, you know, been born and raised here. But I am interested in this idea of being of Cummington, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And do you feel like you are of Cummington at this point?
Yes, I do. When we arrived here, older people, young people our own age, they made us really welcomed. When we bought the farm, they even had a welcome party here. The Hill people got together, and they all came to our house. It was amazing. Hmm. And a lot of them, of the older ones, have passed on now.
Yeah.
But the younger, the ones that were our age growing up, were still best of friends. It's been really wonderful to live in Covington.
Yeah. The so was that a surprise to you, that party, that welcome party?
Yes. Yes.
No kidding. That's great.
Yeah, I wish there was more things like that in this day and age. But I don't know. I think people get too busy. I'm not sure. But I mean, we were very busy too, and we met, you know, the farm folks in town, sugar makers like Franny Wells.
Mm-hmm.
It was just great, and they really welcomed us here. You know, it's a wonderful feeling.
And so sounds like that welcome certainly got things off to a good start. And how did you sort of incorporate yourself into the town?
I think just being active in town activities. Jack was fire chief for quite a few years, and at that time they didn't have the pagers, so we had the red phones.
Huh.
And
tell me about that. I don't know about that.
Have you heard of those?
No, tell me about that.
The red phones, there were like four of us ladies that had to be on duty with the red phones for calls that came in to the fire department. But we were the ones that answered the calls, and then we had to go down the list of the firefighters and tell them where the fires were. And then when Jack was fire chief, he worked with other committees and throughout the county, and they started the 911 pager system.
Uh-huh.
And then the firemen were able to wear these pagers, and so we didn't have to be on duty all the time of the phone. We had a phone out in the barn. We had one in the house so I could continue to do our chores and everything.
No kidding.
But if I had to go shopping, I had to have another lady or whatever cover for me.
Wow. And so there were four of you who did this, you said?
I think there was three or four of us that were in charge of, helped out with this.
Huh.
And it was just like a part of our life, and we didn't feel that it was a job or anything, you know, so...
Sure. Were the phones really red?
Yes.
That's great. I had never heard about that.
No, I don't think I mentioned it to you previously, but it was, you know, it was really great to help out that way as, you know, new in town and everything.
Yeah.
But Jack was he was very active in public service, you know, here in Covington as a first responder and then fire chief too. And
so,
then Bernie, when Jack retired from that, Bernie Forgey took over as fire chief.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it got to be what happened as Jack was fire chief. There was so much paperwork that you had to do for Boston, and with the farming, it was just too much for him to do all that because he always wanted to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And so he retired from that. And at that time, the Fire Association, they gave us another gathering.
Mm.
We had a big party, and it was really great.
Mm.
And our honor for doing all this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really good.
So there was a party when you arrived in town, and then a party when you started.
No, we had another gathering, but that was at a restaurant, I believe.
Yeah,
so
That's great. I love the image of you and the other women in town who were you know, minding those red phones.
Yeah, three of us.
Yeah, minding those red phones, and when it goes off, you sprang into action. Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
It was amazing, really, to help out like that.
Mm, yeah, wonderful. So one of the other things I want to talk with people about is what they love about Covington, whatever it is, you know. And for you, what kinds of things stand out for you as what you would...
I think how everyone was just so friendly here, and you know, we could call them anytime, our friends, and talk to them. Mm-hmm. And even the older people, you know, like Ada Forgy, she was a great woman I worked with, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know her.
Yes, this is Bernie and Denny's mother.
Okay.
And Ronnie Forgy's mother. But when her husband died, I always would ask Ada to go grocery shopping with me or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because she was driving, and then as she got older, she didn't drive. And so she needed, you know, a friend to kind of take her. And
mm-hmm.
I just loved doing that with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it worked out really well.
Yeah, someone else who benefited from your caring.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great.
How about are there places in Cummington that are special to you?
Our church has always been special.
Mm.
And there was a time I was in Grange that was active in town when we came here. But I did have to kind of drop out of the Grange because their meetings were so late, and then you had to get up for farm chores.
Uh-huh.
But I always was a Grange member, too. I don't know if I had told you about that. But that was fun, too, helping out, you know, whatever we did at Grange meetings. And they had the exhibits at the fairs, and you always asked, you know, they wanted to see what we had for vegetables for the exhibit, or
mm-hmm.
they would ask me to bake something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the reason more or less why, you know, I didn't go to the meetings. They were really late getting over with. I suppose I could have left and come home.
Uh-huh.
I know, but you don't want to be rude either.
The flip side of that question really is really what's hard about living out here in the hills.
You mean hard as being in an activity
as a challenge. The challenges, you know, it's because it's you know, there's a lot to love, but there are also things that are, you know, for many folks, you know, there are challenges that go along with choosing to live out here, I think.
Well, we're far away from everything, for one thing. Like
yeah.
for shopping, you have to plan your day, but now you just kind of get used to all this as part of your life. You know, if you're going to Northampton, you plan 3 hours or whatever to
yeah.
get groceries and do all your errands on the same day.
Amen. I know. It's bundling errands is an important
important
skill around here.
Yes.
Because you don't want to have to forget to do something and then have to make that trip again.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And another thing that... which I think I mentioned a little earlier before we actually started recording this, was this idea of Cummington moments, something that you observe or are part of, and then, you know, if you were with someone, you'd say, yeah, well, that's Cummington, all right. You know, things that sort of stand out or exemplify what it is to be part of this town or to live out here in the hills. And does anything like that stand out for you? It might be, you know, a memory.
Our bicentennial was great.
Tell me about that.
1979. They had a pageant that we prepared for. It wasn't going to be until probably July or whatever, but we started in January, and it was we had our parts to learn, and it was so funny that everyone really got with it about May, because I know my youngest son Preston, he was in the pageant, and everyone did great in May. And then we had the pageant. I believe it was held at the fairgrounds, but along with that, our 4-H clubs in town, we prepared a float for the parade, and that was really, really special, too, getting together, doing that. Walter Korsak, he did a lot to help us with that.
Uh-huh.
And it was great to have that as a memory, you know, preparing for the parade and everything for the bicentennial.
Tell me more about the pageant. I'm curious. Was that a performance? I think of...
More or less it was, yeah. And we all had our parts and took part in that.
So what was your part?
If I only could remember for you. But Preston, he he had just one line, and it, I can't remember what my part was, but I...
Preston was, is your son, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was, like I said, he's 53 now, but he was, when we had this pageant, he was born in 68, so he only was like 11.
Uh-huh.
And he had his part, too.
Hmm.
But I'm trying to... Well, I know we had all these costumes that were made by Olive Thayer. I don't know if you knew that name.
Sure. Well,
she was an art teacher here in town, and she was Clifford Thayer's aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very, very clever. She made all these our dresses and with the ruffles on them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the material that she used were like from curtains.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she sewed these dresses for us, and you know, it was really great.
And now, did you have parts? Was it like a play?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the subject matter?
I can't remember just what it was all about now. Probably the history of the town.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Now I'm really curious now.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
Oh,
all
gosh,
that.
Jeanette, when did you say? 1979. So.
Yes, but I
yeah,
know
that
I
was
should, but.
That was well before we arrived in town in 86, and so that was well before we got here. You know, I didn't know about that either. I had never heard about that, so that's wonderful.
Oh, the bicentennial?
Yeah, and the pageant. I have
the
these great images in my head.
Yeah, there was a pageant, a lot of activities, and I believe there was a town picnic.
Yeah, and this was all just for Cummington, right? This was...
Yes.
Yeah. And the parade, the float. So you all made a float. Was it like competitive floats, or you know, like different groups would make a different float, or was it just sort of a town?
It was just whatever they wanted to do. You know, different activities. The 4-H. We used our cattle trailer, and you know, it worked out really well because it was like a flatbed trailer, and we were able to have you know different like. Projects or whatever on this float, so it worked out really well.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. I can totally and so tell so if you were to say how did that event capture something about Cummington? What was it that really?
Oh, everyone was involved, and this is what makes it great. You know, young people, older people, all got involved. Yeah, and made it wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
I think Monica was selectman at that time, and she was involved too.
Oh yeah,
doing preparing, you know, so she did well.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
that's great. I didn't know about that, and I'm glad that you brought it up. That definitely sounds like a great Cummington moment.
Yes.
All right. So Jeanette, tell me about the Dump Ladies.
Okay, we were a group that met at the community house upstairs. And it started as a needlework group. There were maybe five of us, five women, five or six of us. And we started as a needlework group, and then we met and talked about what we did as kids, and we all seemed to have a musical background. And then we gathered and started to play music. And how we got the name Dump Ladies, we had to reserve our rooms at the community house at one time.
Uh-huh.
And the select, at that time, we were called the Cummington Needlework and Musical Jamboree Group.
Yeah, that's very different than the Dump Ladies.
Yes, and then the selectmen said it was much too long to put on the calendar, so they called us the Dump Ladies. We met on Wednesday nights, we'd go to the dump and then do our music, and that's how we got our name.
That's a riot.
Yes.
When was this? Jeanette, about when was this, if you can remember?
Oh, we started in the 90s. I forget the exact year.
Okay.
But we were doing it for about 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we even played at our town picnic here in Cummington.
Oh.
And we started, you know, we made up songbooks that we could take with us. Maybe we had like 20 of them or more. And then we were asked to play at nursing homes and other COA meetings in different towns.
Yep.
And we could pass out our songbooks we made up, and we did sing-alongs.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And it was really fun, and we had such a good time doing this as our group, too.
Yeah, and you found a way to fit that into everything else.
Yeah, I almost wonder how we did it, because one year at Christmas time, we were asked to play Christmas music for 1 week every day somewhere, and we fit it in somehow.
Oh, my gosh.
And yes, yeah, right before the holidays, and it's always real busy at holiday time, but we managed to fit it in. It was just so much fun, we didn't think it was a chore.
Yeah.
And we had a real good time doing it.
Oh, gosh. I wish I had. Yep. I wish I had heard one of those concerts.
Yes, it was fun. It was really a good time.
So now, what did you play?
The guitar.
Uh huh.
Yes, I took lessons when I was 12, and you know, played for quite a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I sang, but I think a better guitar player than a singer. But that's okay. They didn't mind it because I sing alto, but you need altos and sopranos, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. But it was really a great time we had.
Yeah. The Dump Ladies. That's a wonderful story. That's great. So a few more minutes just to kind of wrap up, I guess. The last thing I wanted to really think about a little bit was the future, looking ahead. Is there anything as you sort of think about what's ahead for the town, or imagine what's ahead for the town, is there anything that concerns you or that you worry about? And then the flip side, I'd like to end on the positive side of things, is there anything that gives you hope?
I feel, different clubs, like for the 4-H'ers, I hope this gets active again for the young people in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, of course, now my boys were in Little League Baseball in Pee Wee, and I don't think they have any sports here in town anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, they get more involved in, like, Dalton or whatever, more regionalized, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the local activities I'd like to see come back.
Mm-hmm.
More clubs for 4-H, and for the young people, sports in town. But I don't know. You have to have volunteers that want to do all this, too.
Mm-hmm. And the absence of those things, does that worry you about, what's ahead for the town?
I know there, is more probably activities in the schools that I get involved with now, but I would like to see more local things if they could, have some activities here for the young folks.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I know you're not alone there.
No.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you for agreeing to sit down and talk on the phone. I know this is it's just one more strange thing in this strange year that we've had, I guess, but I'm very appreciative of the fact that you were able and willing to do this. So Jeanette, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah,
Jen.
Thank you so much. All right. Well,
okay.
If you have any more shoveling to do, I hope it goes well. And otherwise, have a wonderful day. All right.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
You too.
Yep.
Yeah, bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
And to those of you listening out there, thank you. I hope to have the next episode up soon. Please check in for another conversation about living in these hills.
There can be no heaven dearer than these hills that I call home.